All right, so the framework that we're looking at is the Panchakhanda. Five aggregates is the common translation, but I'm calling it the Five Angles for Freedom. And it's not the definitive list of existence that the Buddha gave. It's actually a very a specific list of the factors of human experiencing that it's helpful for us to examine in order to find freedom. And that as a consequence of us misunderstanding these, then we have experience of suffering and difficulty, dukkha. So today, the ones that we're going to get into are maybe a little bit more subtle ones, but still, always the emphasis is on finding freedom from suffering, from helping us to see clearly the truth of the way things are. But you could say, in some ways, these teachings are like a toolkit for you to kind of unpick your experience. Like, you have like a screwdriver and a prying tool and file. So it's kind of like if you were in prison and your friend baked you a cake with secret tools inside. So this is what the Buddha's given us, like secret tools to get our way out of our imprisonment and our delusional way of experiencing things or believing about things. So the ones that we covered yesterday were about rupa, form, about the experience of vedana, pleasant, unpleasant, neutral feeling tone that's there. And we also covered sanya, perception. So today the first one that we'll pick up with is sankhara, or sometimes it's translated as mental formation. And it's actually the one that I think has the most different translations and also sometimes can be the most challenging to get in some ways. But so I'm going to read you some different translations of this. Let's see, which I have in my Dharma phone. So the common translation of this Pali word sankhara has been like the mental formations. So that could be relate to a lot of things. And it could include anything in the mental sphere. And the emphasis, I think, is on the conditioned nature of that. So the way in which it arises due to conditions. But here's some other translations for it. Fabrication. So that also emphasizes the kind of way in which it is created. Concoctions. That may be something more you would expect from like kitchen reality show, but sometimes the mind is like that also. Mental fermentations, volitions, karmic formations, habitual tendencies, impulses, or drives. And the one about drives can be an interesting one to consider. So the kind of energetic intentions that arise within us that impel us to do something or impel us to have a certain perspective on the world. And oftentimes they're ones that we otherwise don't detect as such. You know, with these ones, we believe them to be true. They come up, but we don't see them as these concoctions that have arisen due to conditions, that have a beginning, a middle, and an end. And while we're in them, we become completely entranced by them, you know, completely believe in them. We get kidnapped by them, and then we live our life from them. And some of them can be more helpful than others. So, for example, more common ones could be like generosity versus like hatred, anger, could be a sense of love, could be a sense of jealousy. So a variety of different of these kind of like mental formations arising of intention. The metaphor that is used for this one is the plantain tree or banana tree. I think I mentioned this on Friday night, that it looks very solid. If you've ever seen a banana tree, it looks like a big thing, and it's got these big leaves, and then it's got, you know, big combs of bananas. I think I even have a prop here. Yes. A banana. Single banana, but you know, it's in this comb. There's like many, many, many like this, like this, like this, right? They all start out green, and then eventually they turn yellow or something. So it looks like a big thing, but actually the tree itself is grass. It's in the grass family, so it's empty inside. If you ever have the chance to look into the what seems like the trunk of the banana tree, it's actually just like a hollow thing. So in that way, it's like this mental formations, volitional formations, drives, they're actually empty of inherent existence. But because we don't perceive that, we take them to be solid, take them to be true, believe in them, get driven by them, kidnapped by them, you know, all of that. So here it's helpful for us to get curious about them, so to tune into them. So bring mindfulness to the experience of any of these as they arise. And it can be noticing when it begins. Sometimes you don't notice when it begins. You just notice in the middle of it, notice in the middle of it. If you notice in the middle of it, try to stay with it to notice that it eventually ends, that there's an ending. So usually if we only notice in the middle, then it's just like, oh yeah, this is how it is. This is solid. This is existence. But actually, if we tune in with this continuity, then it can reveal the ways in which it too is just like a passing cloud in the sky or a weather pattern moving through the system. And there's a lot of freedom if we're able to know that. So Tim was reminding me of this story of that I told once, and I had this kind of, there's a period in my life when I was doing as a like a pastime, I was going to visit gay pride parades in different cities, like when I was traveling to some place. So, you know, if someone invited me to Seattle, I'd be like, when's gay pride? Okay, I can come in June, you know, that's it, whatever. Now I'm more flexible, you know, like April. But anyway, so one of the I got to see many different parades like that and connect with different communities. But one of the coolest ones that I went to was Amsterdam Gay Pride. And Amsterdam Gay Pride is on canals. So they have canals there with boats. And so the floats aren't, you know, things on wheels like what you might have here. I actually haven't been to Seattle Gay Pride because I think it's the same time as San Francisco Pride. But instead of like, you know, trucks or cars or something, they have boats, you know, with the different like people on it and costumes and then floats of different kinds. But also when you, so the viewers are standing on the sides of the canals and the boats are like going by like this. But the canals also pass under bridges, you know, so that the bicycles and cars and stuff can go through. So a lot of the floats are have all kinds of very kind of fancy stuff on it. Like, you know, they'll have those blow up tube people who's like this, you know, or they'll have something that they'll unfold to look like a castle or something like that. But every time it comes to one of those bridges, they all have to collapse it down, you know. So the one that's like this has to. And then I think that the time that I went, for some reason, like Orange is the New Black was like a big TV show hit. So they had like a school bus, like Orange is the New Black school bus. But then when they went through the bridges, it was actually just, you know, these different cardboardy things. And then so they had to refold it up so that it could fit under the bridge and then unfold it again when they got on the other side of it. So the reason I'm telling the story is that if you pay attention, you could notice that these kind of mental formations that go through your mind, it's a little like Amsterdam Gay Pride. It's like there's, you know, maybe there's a period of quiet and then suddenly there's this thing that pops up and it seems very like vivid and alive and like, you know, it's like there's a, sometimes there are these little like, you know, ones blow up ones like this, and there's a, you know, what appears to be a school bus that pops up, and there's people in different costumes, and there's a, you know, like a dance band. So you know, there's music in all these too. So they're like, and then it goes under the bridge, and then it's like, you know. So it's like that. So it's like, oh, this thing has arisen, and then it's like the, you know, inflatable person is like this, and the music is going, and all this stuff, and you really get entranced by that, right, in your own mind. And then eventually it comes to another bridge, and it's like, you know, it all collapses. So be interested in the other two ends of it, you know. It can be hard to catch the beginning of it, but in practice we can. We can train ourselves because we're just sitting steady to sometimes notice the beginnings of it. But if you can't notice the beginnings of it, then while you're in it, be curious about the ending of it because it's always going to end. You know, there's never been one stream of intention, mental formation, concoction that has been there for very long. And even if you think like, oh no, that's not true. You know, I've been like sad for a long time or something like that. Even within that sadness, there's been variations. You know, there's been sometimes when it's less, sometimes when it's more. There's times when it's been, you know, punctuated by happiness or neutral or something, right? So just being curious about that to notice that. And particularly helpful to notice are the ones that are very strong. Because those are the ones that tend to really capture us, and then we are living in that world, you know, of that kind of energetic fuel. And it feels like that's the only thing that exists during that time. You know, it feels like that is absolutely true. It was like this, it's always been like this, it's always going to be like this. This is the world. And it's really like, you know, we've. I'm switching metaphors here now. It's like we put on the glasses with a certain lens, and everything we look at is like through that lens. But we don't know, you know, that it's like the gray, gloomy lens, right? So if there's some, for example, you know, irritation or something a day, you know, you wake up on the wrong side of bed, so to speak, you then everything is annoying when you get up. It's like, oh, the trash can lid doesn't fit properly in the trash can. It's like, I hate it. And, you know, my partner didn't load the dishwasher right. They always do it wrong. And the traffic is terrible. And, you know, it's too hot in the room. It's too cold in the room. They never get it right. You know, poor Matt. I'm like, how come they don't know how to operate the thermostat, man? You know? So everything is like annoying or irritating, but we don't notice. It's because we have this, you know, we woke up and put on the aversion glasses, you know, right? The glasses of irritation. And then we're inhabiting that world and we believe it. Like we take everything very personally. So we believe these thoughts to be mine. We believe them to be true. We believe there's a me that's experiencing it, you know, all of that. There's a sense of solidity of it, like it's always going to be like this. So it's helpful to keep an eye out for that. Like it is again like a trick of the perception that we believe in these so fully. And there's a lot of freedom if we can just take it with a grain of salt, you know. So it doesn't mean that we have to destroy it, kill it, like anything like that. Like it's just part of the flow of nature, of experience. But we can notice the way in which it colors our experience. So I remember seeing a movie in which there was a guy who fell in love with someone in his office. And I think this was 500 Days of Summer, Joseph Gordon-Levitt. So he's an office worker or something. And when he falls in love with this coworker, they have a little montage that's like, I love everything about her, like the way she smiles, and they show her smile, like the way she sits, the way she eats something, the way she bends her knees, you know, everything. It's like, and he's like, wah, you know, there's like the like soft focus gaze. He loves everything. Then they go through, they have a relationship, then she dumps him, right? She breaks up with him. And then there's the same montage of the same things, and he's like, I hate everything about her. The way she smiles, the way she sits down, the way she bends her knees. You know, it's like the exact same clips of film, actually. But now he's like, I can't stand it. And, you know, it's like that, right? So, you know, it's funny to see it from someone else, but guess what? Like, your mind is doing that too, in different ways all the time. So, yeah, keep an eye out for it. And there can be subtle ones, you know, like a subtle mood, but there can be really strong drives, like a very strong kind of mental fermentation that is like bubbling, oozing, you know, like very, very strong. So the more obvious ones can sometimes be the stronger ones, but as we practice, we can get curious and even start to notice the more subtle ones also, too.